This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Tuesday. So we're going to do Medal of Honor Monday here in a few. Talk about this potential. What are Americans' actual opinions on military action in Venezuela? And why Venezuela? We'll touch again on the Trump-Mamdani meeting that you apparently have a lot of feelings about. All that and so much more coming up in the next hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we do any of that, I wasn't here yesterday. This is normally Monday, but the start of hour two on Monday, now Tuesday, is for heroes. This is important, and let me explain again why it's important for all of our new listeners, because I know we're on so many new channels and things like that. It's important to remember the people who built your country. It's important to remember and honor people who have done great things. And it's important to remember their deeds. Now, maybe this is a point where you ask, well, why? I don't understand why. It's not even really about respecting and honoring them, although that's an important aspect of it for me and hopefully for you. But let's say you don't have that. Let's say you don't care. People are impressionable. They're impressionable, right? Children, as they are raised, they're impressionable. The things they see, the things they hear. I've told you this before. I know it's corny and stupid. I joined the Marine Corps in part because I grew up watching that John Wayne movie about the Marines. And I watched someone on the television set with my father, This tough patriot who fought for his country and died for his country. And it made such a deep impression on me. It wasn't the whole reason. It was part of the reason. I walked into the recruiting office of the Marine Corps when I was 18 years old or 19. I don't remember. And I said, I'm signing up right now. It makes an impression. It matters to people, young people, adult people, they need something to aspire to. And if you don't give them something good, hey, these are the right deeds. These are the right men. If you don't give them something good, they may very well find something bad. People have to have someone to look up to. They do. And remember this, on top of your emails telling me what you're grateful for tomorrow, we do take love, hate, death threats, and we do take Medal of Honor suggestions if you have ones you're related to or you like or something like that. This one we got, dear tiny-handed mosquito killer, I was recently at my local VA medical center. I noticed a Medal of Honor recipient displayed in the lobby. I thought you might be interested in this incredible person. He's from my hometown and deserves all the honor and respect he is owed. Here's a link to his Medal of Honor citation. So this guy's name is Raymond Michael Red Clausen Jr., also joined the United States Marine Corps. He was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. Without further ado, let's find out what he did.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving with the Marine Medium Helicopter Squadron 263 during operations against enemy forces, participating in a helicopter rescue mission to extract elements of a platoon which had inadvertently entered a minefield while attacking enemy positions, PFC Clausen skillfully guided the helicopter pilot to a landing in an area cleared by one of several mine explosions, with 11 Marines wounded and one dead, and the remaining 8 Marines holding their positions for fear of detonating other mines. PFC Clausen quickly leaped from the helicopter and, in the face of enemy fire, moved across extremely hazardous, mine-laden area to assist in carrying casualties to the waiting helicopter and in placing them aboard. Despite the ever-present threat of further mine explosions, he continued his valiant efforts, leaving the comparatively safe area of the helicopter on six separate occasions to carry out his rescue efforts. On one occasion, while he was carrying one of the wounded, another mine detonated, killing a corpsman and wounding three other men. Only when he was certain that all Marines were safely aboard did he signal the pilot to lift the helicopter. By courageous, determined, and inspiring efforts in the face of utmost danger, PFC Clausen upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and of the U.S. Naval Service. And let this serve as a reminder to you, if you have someone in your life who was, he flew helicopters in Vietnam or in them, you know, he didn't have to be the pilot, door gutter, anything in them, talk to him about it. Ask them about it. Remember that Vietnam was, in so many ways, a helicopter war. It was fairly new technology, at least militarily. It was new. The concept of let's take masses of men on a bunch of helicopters, fly them in, drop them off, then we can resupply them by helicopter, and that when they need help, we can get them out by helicopter. That was the Vietnam War. And we did it in mass, but it was so insanely dangerous. Insanely dangerous. And you know who quickly figured out what the deal was, how important the helicopters were? The Vietnamese did. And so they weren't exactly passive about shooting at the helicopters, shooting down the helicopters. They very much understood the helicopter was the lifeline for our troops. If you can kill one, you're basically killing the troops on the ground. Of course, there were some men who did not acquit themselves very well in this role. They didn't want to go in. They didn't want to die. It's a very human emotion. But there are others who almost guaranteed themselves death by the things they did in those helicopters just to help the guys out on the ground. If you have someone you know who did service, did time in Vietnam on a helicopter, ask them about their service and show them respect. All right? All right. And I want to remind you again, tomorrow, on top of our normal show, we're going to do a what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? Email it in. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be small. But find something in your life you're thankful for. Even if you don't send an email in, that's fine. That's fine. But this is the time to focus on that. I don't know about you, but no matter how well life is going for me, I have these days, I have these moments where all I do is complain. I'm not talking about on here, my personal life, or even just to myself. Wow, this sucks. That sucks. And I'm mad about this and mad about that. When really, we all should be thankful more. I know I certainly should. All right? All right. So this was last week's news, but apparently there are many feelings about it. Donald Trump had a photo op White House meeting with the incoming communist mayor of New York City, Mamdani. I got a lot of emails all over the place. This guy says, people who complain about Trump maintaining good relationships, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Trump just does what he has to do. This guy's fine with it. This guy says, Jesse, I can't believe the butt-kissing Trump gave Mamdani. I want to vomit. I can't believe what I saw and heard when I was watching. Help me understand. So on. This lady says, a lot of Americans, including me, think Trump was too fawning and complimentary of Mamdani during his White House visit. Please let us know your thoughts. So I wasn't even going to talk about this because I figured this was just kind of old news. But this is something you're hot on. In case you missed it, I'm sure you did not. Incoming Mayor Mamdani, he's not mayor yet, doesn't get sworn in until January. Incoming New York City Mayor Mamdani, he got a White House invitation. No, you don't just show up at the White House, as you know, and knock on the door and ask to be let in. So this is something Trump's team was on board with. Either they prompted it or they were on board with it. Ma'am Donnie walks in the White House. I'm not going to play all the audio and all the other stuff. Walks in the White House, does the Oval Office meeting where he's glad-handing. They're friendly. I wouldn't say friends, but certainly friendly. It was very nice. And I don't mean I loved it, but it was a nice environment, if you will, for those two. Not hostile, no tension. This is after Mamdani talked endlessly about how Trump was a fascist and whatnot. So what happened there? What are my thoughts? We'll talk about that next. Then we'll do some emails. Before we talk about that, look, I know it's a pain in the rear end to hire good people, to find them, to get a man to hire them. I know. There aren't that many great people out there. And when you find one, usually it's too late. ZipRecruiter is there to help you win the race. They put great candidates in front of you immediately. Not in a week. Hey, give us a month. Immediately. Their technology does it. You put in the job. ZipRecruiter's matching technology puts people, they have this smart tech, they put the best people in front of you immediately. What's the result of this? 4 out of 5 employers find somebody on the first day. On the first day. ZipRecruiter is going to help you win the race for that next great employee so you can get rid of the Chris in your office. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. So remember, by the way, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. Chris, I guess it's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. Is that it? Apple Podcasts, Spotify. What? I'm not up on everything, Chris. And iHeart, by the way. Download the podcast, listen to the show. All right. So Trump's meeting with Mamdani. A lot of people got super mad about it. Some people are defending it. Let's talk about a couple things. All right. First, Donald Trump has really never been what his worst enemies and his hardcore supporters want him to be. Let me explain. Donald Trump's worst enemies, the people who rage against him all the time. He's a New York Democrat, an old school, business savvy, common sense New York Democrat. And understand this, especially in his first term, Donald Trump would have worked with Democrats and got many Democrats, the Democrat policies pushed forward if they weren't so insane and suicidal. At one point in time, Donald Trump openly talked about working with Democrats on a border deal that included amnesty. Did you know that? That's not the only thing. Donald Trump is not some hardcore right-wing anti-communist like Democrats pretend he is. You could have worked with him and gotten some things done you wanted done. Instead, you couldn't control your demonic impulses. Everybody had to be Hitler and a fascist, and then he just stood against you, period. So he's never been that. But his biggest supporters, this is hard to understand too, because we tend to project what we want onto people instead of what they are. Donald Trump has been, in many ways, so good for anti-communists like us. But Donald Trump is not some ideological, hardcore anti-communist. That's not his upbringing. That's not his past at all. He's not that guy. Doesn't mean he's bad. Doesn't mean he's been a bad presidency and so bad president in so many ways. He's been so great for us on the right, but he's not Franco, right? He's not Francisco Franco. What is he? He's the beginning, not the end. We needed someone like him to get the America First movement rolling. We needed someone like him to introduce things that we will now carry forward. What kind of things? Talking tough on immigration, doing tough things on deportation. We needed somebody like Trump to get that ball rolling. We needed somebody like Trump to get the ball rolling on how to treat the media. No more treating the media like slightly naive people with bias. Now you treat them like your mortal enemy because that's what they are. Donald Trump is the one who helped bring these things into the mainstream. We, in combination with him, we have moved our ball forward, and he deserves all the credit in the world for that. But he's not Francisco Franco. He's not the end. He is not the solution. He's the beginning. He's a necessary first step. The Mamdani meeting. You know that Donald Trump would have done that meeting with Gavin Newsom, right? You know that? You know that Donald Trump would have done that meeting with J.B. Pritzker, AOC, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi? You pick the Democrat politician you hate the most, Donald Trump would have welcomed them into the Oval Office. Why? Donald Trump will do that for anybody willing to kiss the ring. Why didn't J.B. Pritzker do it? He could use Donald Trump's help with his state. Why didn't Gavin Newsom do it? He could use Donald Trump's help with his state. They're running for president. They cannot afford a photo op showing them smiling shoulder to shoulder with Donald Trump. It's not possible for them politically. Instead, they have to declare him to be their enemy. Donald Trump will do that for anybody willing to kiss the ring. He is very, very pretty open about it. Open to flattery? Show up, put on a tie, show some respect. Zelensky was about to get almost everything he wanted in that White House meeting. Do you remember that? The binders with the agreement were already printed. There were two matching binders, so they had a backup, and the press conference was scheduled. Zelensky was going to show up and get almost everything he wanted if you could just sit there and shut your freaking mouth for 20 minutes on camera and be respectful. Trump was going to give him everything he wanted. Zelensky lost his mind, got screwed. If you just show up, shake his hand, call him Mr. President, smile when he brags about himself, laugh a little when he makes a joke. Donald Trump is pliable in that way. If that's frustrating for you, I get it, but may I just say this? If it's frustrating for you, maybe you don't necessarily fully understand what Donald Trump is and what he isn't. He has been incredible for the anti-communist movement at getting it started, getting many of the balls we need rolling forward. He's not Francisco Franco. He's just the beginning. He's always going to take that meeting, no matter who it is. All right. You want to see something amazing? You looking at the camera right now? See this? Are you looking at this? See how stretchy that is? These are Cozy Earth pants. You didn't know they were stretchy like that, did you? What, Chris? Why are you making that face? I'm not that flexible, okay? I can't put my legs over my head. I'm not Lindsey Graham. You know, this is stretchy. It doesn't look stretchy. It looks like nice khakis. Well, Jesse, are you going to prom or something afterwards? No, I graduated years ago. These are Cozy Earth's Everywhere pants, the most comfortable freaking pants on the planet. You want the best, most comfortable sheets, robes, pants, face creams for the ladies? Cozy Earth has their Black Friday sale going on right now. When you use the promo code Jesse, you get up to 40% off site-wide. Take advantage. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. All right, so but let's deal with a couple military matters, actually American population matters. This one goes directly to something I've been talking about for a long time, about the lag, the signal lag between the American people in the bubble that is Washington, D.C. Because you get elected or appointed to some position in Washington, D.C., you tend to only hear and see really what's around you. You're going to have people in your office, people in your life who just are completely out of step with the American people. It takes time for the will of the American people to actually filter into the eyes and ears of the people in Washington, D.C., especially when the American people have changed their tune on something and how they feel on something. Foreign policy. I had a conversation this weekend. He's a friend of mine, Jewish friend of mine. That's going to matter for the point of the conversation. And he was asking, because it came up at dinner, that there was a poll out showing young people they're more out on Israel than any other older generation. The younger the generation you are, the more out on it you are. And he was asking me, even though he knows I don't do a lot of foreign policy stuff, he was asking me, what do you think the reason for that is? What's your sense on it? And we talked about a few things. I won't go over all of it. But one of the main things I told him was, look, if you're down about it or mad about it, I understand that, but I wouldn't take it personally. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's not just Israel, bud. They're out on everything foreign. Everything foreign. It could be Ukraine. How many Ukrainian flags have you seen people waving recently? Those kind of went away, didn't they? They're out on all of it. Taiwan. Taiwan's currently surrounded by the Chinese Navy. They could go in any day. I don't think they will, but they could go in any day. How many Americans have you talked to in your life that have even mentioned Taiwan? One time. None. The American people, because of growing dissatisfaction at home, do not care about other countries. Now, the signal lag is in Washington, D.C., big business, big money has always come in for politicians when it comes to foreign adventuring. They love that. Look, Ukraine, you want to raise a bunch of money from defense contractors in Washington, D.C.? Run to the microphone and tell everybody the most important thing happening in the world is Ukraine right now. What's going to happen? The people in your district will hate your freaking guts for it, but your campaign coffers will fill up quickly because that's where the money is. That's where the money is because of all the bills we pass. That's where the money flows from the government, which is, of course, from us. In Washington, D.C., there's great glory and there's great money in foreign adventuring. And that's not unique to our system. The Romans dealt with this all the time. All kinds of countries have dealt with this all the time. Hey, the sexy stuff is going overseas, right? I don't want to just help out the people here at home. What am I going to do? Clean up the streets? That's boring. I want to go overseas and do something wonderful. Be a world citizen, if you will. It's always been that way. And they do not grasp yet that burger is $10 a pound in this country. $10 a pound for burger. If you're a family of four and you want to make Jesse Kelly burgers, if you factor in the bun, the American cheese, that's a $30 meal now. A $30 meal to make cheeseburgers at home. They don't want to hear about your foreign country, whatever. They just don't. Oh, but you should. No, you don't understand. No. This is the problem, because we're about to talk about Venezuela. That's what this is actually about. Here's the problem. It's not that foreign policy doesn't matter. It's hugely important. It's not that foreign countries don't matter. Our relationship with other countries, friends and enemies, does matter. It does. The point is, normal Americans are never going to buy in. They're never going to care about that foreign country and why we need to do X or why we need to do Y while they're paying $10 a pound for burger at the grocery store. They don't care. You want an example? What's Donald Trump done in Venezuela so far? What's he done? We've sent our Navy down there. All right. Navy's down there. Some Marines are down there. I think we all know that there are some intelligence assets involved. Okay. And we've nuked some drug boats. You've seen the videos by now, I'm sure. These nighttime videos where there's a boat full of drugs heading for America. It's actually heading for Mexico, then to America, but a boat full of drugs heading towards America, and boom, Reaper drone nukes it and all the drug dealers inside. That's always done. That's bread and butter Americana stuff. Hey, sweet, kill drug dealers. Bread and butter stuff. Now, headline from the Daily Caller. Do Americans support potential military action in Venezuela? Do you know the percentage of American adults who oppose it? 70. 30% approve. 70% of American adults, when asked about getting involved there, I mean in a more serious way than we are now. Boots on the ground. Remember, this is their government is a cartel that is exporting drugs, killing our citizens. So this is a bad country of communists and drug dealers. It's a communist drug dealing country. Americans don't care. Don't care. Don't want to hear it. Not interested. Burgers $10 a pound. There's not any more room left for these Washington, D.C. foreign adventurers to do the things they want to do. And it's not only the prices, I should point out. So many decades of foreign policy failure that has resulted in the loss of American blood and treasure has really jaded the normal American to how America will conduct its foreign policy. We just completed the embarrassing end of 20 years in Afghanistan, where our men and women fought valiantly and did everything right, and they died over there. And after 20 years, we killed 13 more of them on the way out, then murdered 10 Afghanis. And to this day, we send, I believe it's $40 million a month to the Taliban, the people we were fighting for 20 years. When you conduct a foreign policy that is that nonsensical, and let's be honest, evil, we don't want to hear about anything else. You have burned the American people to the point they don't want to hear about whatever your next adventure is. No, but you don't understand. This is super important because no. You don't understand. We've watched you waste our lives and our treasure for decades now. I mean, really starting in Vietnam, but then the global war on terror and the way it was done. Oh, and by the way, while we were fighting the global war on terror, we were repeatedly told that we have to fight them over here so we don't have to fight over there so we don't have to fight them here. And then we come back home and there's the Muslim call to prayer in Dearborn and Somalis have taken over Minneapolis. It kind of seems like you weren't being honest when you said that. Why don't Americans want to hear about Israel now when they're younger? Why don't they care about Venezuela? You should care. Why aren't you up in arms about Ukraine getting screwed over in a peace deal? Don't you care? Burgers $10 a pound, and we watched how you conducted the rest of your foreign policy. There's no more trust left. I'm sorry to everyone who has a genuine heart for anything in D.C. and knows, well, we have to do this because of this. The American people don't want to hear it. Not your fault. Go look at the other people who burned it before. They don't want to hear it. Don't. Sad. But that's what happens when you violate people's trust. All right. Let's talk about these seditious people. But first, let's do a couple emails and let's get your phone switched up, shall we? $29.95 a month is insanely cheap for cell phone service. But it gets a little bit better when I tell you that Pure Talk plan is their unlimited plan. Unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data, 30 gig hotspot, $29.95 a month. Go price that at Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. For life. Not for the first month. Not for the rest of the year. For life. I've never seen Pure Talk do a deal like this. You already know they're the patriotic mobile company. You already know they hire Americans. Go save a pile of money, but you got to hurry on this one. It ends on December 7th. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Some restrictions apply. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Maybe you can email us love, hate, death threats, what you're thankful for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to some of these because I'm behind. Jesse, an unnamed senior Republican in the House is claiming that Marjorie Taylor Greene's resignation, there might be enough Republicans who resign from the House that will lose the House even before the midterms. Okay, so this has been reported. I think it was Punchbowl News reported that Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a congresswoman from Georgia, she came out, put some internet video out there, then a public statement out there. I'm resigning in January. It was a statement along the lines of, this town's too corrupt, no one works for you, nothing matters, I'm leaving. Okay, whatever. We don't have to address that part. Then people are reporting that others are considering resigning. I'm considering resigning. So here's what happens. And this has happened many times in history. But here's what happens in Washington, D.C. because it's a corrupt criminal organization. Reformers, good people, they will try to change it. They will try to drain it. They may get exasperated and quit. Here's what else happens in Washington, D.C. People are there, especially if they've been there for a while, they're there with a certain agenda. And if they see possibly that agenda being stopped, they'll quit and go do something else. Here's what else happens in Washington, D.C. People will get there and make connections. Certain business connections. Maybe it's in media or in the military industrial complex or just some random private sector place. Maybe it's with a finance company. They will end up making connections of some kind. That happens when you're in the most powerful city in the United States of America, and opportunities will arise, and that person sits and says to themselves, well, I can run for office every 2 years, having to beg people for money and talk to people I don't like and go knock on doors and make $160,000 a year, or I can walk away right now and I can make $1 million for this local finance company if I give some speeches and sit on the board and they say, hey, you know what, this place isn't worth it. And then there's something else. Majorities. Whenever people have the majority in the House and the Senate, or we'll make it one of the two. We'll just say the House. When they have the majority, they dream of getting something done, of doing something. And when they see it's not getting done, what happens is you start to move forward. You start to fast forward in your brain, and you see we're going to be in the minority next year. Being in the minority, now I've never been in Congress. You know, I tried twice and lost. But being in the minority sounds awful. The majority, you're picking people who go on committees. You get to set the rules for this and set the rules for that. In the minority, you have some rights there, but in so many ways, you just have to be led along by your nose. Because as of right now, the feeling is that the midterm elections are not going to go well for us. You're going to see people for various reasons, and I don't know what any of their reasons are, including Marjorie Taylor Greene. We won't know after a while. And by the way, we'll know after a while. After a while, we'll see where they land and we'll go, ah, that's what was up. But we'll see people leave for various reasons and we'll get frustrated, but we're down. We're having a down month or two right now. And when you have a down month or two, people will take drastic steps. They'll do drastic things. If I can give you some encouragement, if we wake up tomorrow and see two or three more Republicans are resigning and we're about to lose the majority and this report comes out showing Democrats are going to crush us in the midterms, remember that you're in politics because it's important. That's why you're in it. That's why you like it. Because it's important, you're emotional about it. When you're emotional about something, it's almost impossible to be completely honest about something and to be reasonable about something. Therefore, when you get a big win in politics last November, It's easy to think we have won. It's final victory. This is it. The other side is defeated. We're never going to lose power. It's swamp draining time. Everyone's going to prison and every illegal is getting deported. That's ridiculous. And when you have a down couple months like we have, plus we lost a couple, we lost that election in Virginia, New Jersey, we a bad election, down couple months, couple statements I'm sure Trump would like to have back, a little bit of chaos here, a little bit of chaos there, then James Comey, Letitia James get their charges dropped. It's been a rough couple months for people on the right. Let's not act like a rough couple months is the end of the world. Okay, some people are resigning. We didn't get this. We didn't get that. We can turn things around. Maybe next month will be great. By the way, I'm not telling you it will be. Maybe next month will be worse. I don't know. You don't know. But let's not be overly dramatic about the whole thing. Don't ever get too high. Don't ever get too low. Don't ever get too high, Hunter Biden. Don't ever get too low. All right? All right. So let's talk about the seditious six, as people are calling them. Mark Kelly, Alyssa Slotkin, you know, all those Democrats, we already talked about it. They put out that video, hey, you know, don't obey any illegal orders. And Alyssa Slotkin's being asked questions about it on the Sunday shows.
It does imply that the president is having illegal orders, which you have not seen.
I think for us, it was just a statement widely, right? We say very quickly and very to all the folks who come to us, this is the process. Go to your JAG officer, ask them for explanation, for top cover, for their view on things. We do that on a case-by-case basis, but we wanted to speak directly to the volumes of people who had come to us on that.
Mm-hmm. So she's wiggling a little bit. Hey, what are the illegal orders?
Well, let's talk right now. Do you believe President Trump has issued any illegal orders?
To my knowledge, I am not aware of things that are illegal, but certainly there are some legal gymnastics that are going on with these Caribbean strikes and everything related to Venezuela.
Okay. She even dropped a Holocaust reference.
Look, if you go back to Nuremberg, right, that, well, they told me to do it. That's why I murdered people.
Yes. That's whenever you're in trouble, always pull out the Holocaust, try to bail yourself out of trouble. Okay. There's another part to this that you can see if you're watching. We'll talk about that in a minute. Before we talk about that, buy some gold, please. If you don't want any physical gold or physical silver, that's fine. I totally get that. I'm a believer in keeping some of that. Not a lot, but you should have a few things. But if you don't, I get that. What I will never get is people who refuse to get it in their retirement. That does not mean 100% of your retirement portfolio becomes gold and silver. Not at all. Not at all. You weave some of it into there. And what it does is that floor, it raises the floor. So if the bubble pops, if China goes into Taiwan, you don't lose everything and have to go back to work at 75. Let GoldCo do this for you. Call 855-817-GOLD. Let them get it into your retirement. 855-817-GOLD or jessielikesgold.com. There's another angle to this seditious six talk. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.